3,000 years ago, the prophet Micah asked one of those bottom line questions that anyone who truly believes in God will want to know the answer to. What is it that God wants from us? What does He require? What is His will for our lives? Now, there was a lot of people in Micah's day that thought they knew the answer to that question. Be more religious. Practice your faith regularly and faithfully. Go to the temple. Go to the synagogue. Keep the Sabbath. Say your prayers. Give your tithes and offerings. And when you commit sin, and you will, or need God's help in a difficult or dangerous circumstance, why, offer a sacrifice in the temple. God's blessing and God's forgiveness and support can be had in exchange for a burnt offering, the sacrifice of an animal. It all seems so rather straightforward, doesn't it? We fail, we offer a sacrifice. We go to temple, we offer a sacrifice. It seems so cut and dry. But as the prophets of Israel were always reminding the people of God, no offering of tithes or sacrifice could in themselves ever heal their relationship with God broken by sin. Nor could it heal a community torn apart by dishonesty, lies, greed, violence, and lust. Shall I come before God, Micah asks, with burnt offerings and calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Micah knows the answer before he asks. No, none of it is enough. None of it, nor all of it together, can transform the human heart or heal a nation ruined by sin. How could a person ever believe that God's favor can be bought with a little display of respect and contrition? No. What God is really after, then and now, is changed lives. Lives that are lived differently in the everyday things that make up our ordinary everyday living. Like doing justice, loving mercy, and living every day as if God were our companion in everything that we do. My grandmother instilled that last phrase into my mind as a child. She taught me a little song that went like this. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little hands, what you do. There's a Father up above, and He's looking down with love. So be careful, little hands, what you do. God wants to change us from people who live out of our brokenness and self-centeredness into people whose living reflects God's character, God's love, God's compassion, His mercy, and His justice. For 11 long and dense chapters, Paul has been telling Christians in Rome the good news he's been preaching all across the Mediterranean world. For 11 chapters, Paul has been explaining in as many ways as he can that all human beings, Jews and Gentiles alike, live under a sentence of death apart from Jesus. But if a person, Jew or Gentile, would believe in Jesus and cling to his promises, then God's own righteousness will become their righteousness. That his own life will become their life, and they will be healed. The broken places will be mended, and the horrible enslaving power of sin and death in them will be broken. God's righteousness, you see, is more than a blanket amnesty declaring all is forgiven. God's righteousness is an active righteousness that literally changes us. All this, Paul says, is so that you and I might become living sacrifices. That's a strange notion, isn't it? For you see, a sacrifice is not something that keeps its life. No, the life of a sacrifice is given. Given up to God. That's what makes it a sacrifice. Its life is no longer its own. Its life belongs to God. The Apostle Paul is convinced that anyone who has experienced the mercies of God in Jesus Christ is a person who is so free that they can give up their lives for Christ step by step and day by day. Paul says when you do that, when you realize such perfect freedom, then you will no longer have to ask, "What does the Lord require of me?" For then you will be able to discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Listen, listen to this wonderful paraphrase of Paul's words in Romans by Eugene Peterson in his wonderful paraphrase, The Message. So this is what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognizing what God wants from you and quickly responding to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best in you, develops well-informed maturity in you. Being conformed to this world, friends, means using this world's standards of judgment. It means honoring what the culture honors. It means assuming that that is what God honors too. But that is the opposite of what Paul is urging Christians in Rome to do when he tells them to become living sacrifices. God doesn't want just a set of behaviors from you. He wants you. You and I are being called to turn our lives over to Him, to use the gifts He has in His service. I imagine the call from the call of Jesus in the Gospels through Paul's admonition to present ourselves to God, a dance. A dance in which our Lord Jesus takes the lead. He takes the first step, and we take a parallel step. He takes the next step, and we take a parallel step, mirroring His step. It is a beautiful thing, this following God. It shows us clearly that Christian living is a living that is authentically like Christ. It doesn't begin by adopting a new set of rules. It begins in the glad self-offering of our lives, our whole selves, to the God whose mercy has come all the way to meet us in our rebellion and sin. It involves the renewing of our minds so that we are able both to think straight and to act accordingly. To respond to God's mercy by letting every day belong to the Lord. That is how we celebrate the salvation that we have in Jesus. We're not pretenders, pretending to be something that we are not. We are people who are being remade in the image of Christ by using our opportunities, our interests, and our abilities to present a living sacrifice to God. Every day, each of us has the opportunity to walk with our God. It all depends in the end on who we are living for. Being a living sacrifice is really the only way to know the fullness of life God offers us in Jesus. There really is no other way. We can try to hedge things in or hedge things out by all kinds of rules, but that in itself will never transform us into the Spirit-led people that God is calling us to be. Think about it. Isn't that really what you want? Isn't that what your heart desires? To be like Jesus. It's possible. It's possible. Thanks be to God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it's time for us to celebrate the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist. Did you know that the Greek word Eucharistein, which is the word that we get Eucharist from, means to celebrate? It means to be glad. Communion is not simply a somber remembering. It is also a great celebration. As you come to the Lord's table today, remember that it is Christ our Lord who invites us. And we are being shaped into his likeness. So let us draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to our comfort. On the night that our Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. as often as you eat this bread, remember me. On the same night, Jesus took the cup, the last cup of the Passover meal, the cup of blessing. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, drink. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you drink this cup, remember me." Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in service to all the world, that Christ may be glorified and his name praised. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.